How is everybody tonight? It is good to see you. I'm glad you decided to come and worship with us this evening. Glad that you have made this good choice. I'd like to share something with you today that I just found out, some information that I just discovered. Today is Tweed Day. Did you know that? Tweed Day. T-W-E-E-D. Tweed. And it's also Don't Go to Work Unless It's Fun Day. Now, while I am not wearing a garment made of tweed, not even sure if I own such a garment, I am at work today because it is very, very fun. That's why I came here. I really enjoy this. Love preaching for you guys so much. Glad y'all give me the opportunity to do that for you. Glad you're here with me this evening, worshiping God. That's what we're all doing together. And we're going to worship Him some more as we study His Word. Open your Bibles to Jonah, if you will. That's in the Old Testament of your Bible. That's page 823 in a pew Bible. And Jonah is after Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. In case you don't know where that is, right in the middle of the minor prophets in your Old Testament. We are going to read the entirety of chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you're sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God would be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and from what people are you?" And he said, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the man knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. And do not put innocent blood on us, for you, Lord, have done as you have pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. We love the story of Jonah, don't we? It's a great story, even from childhood. This is an all-time favorite Bible story. It's not just a fish tale. It's a real story. It's a true story. This really happened. God had a mission for Jonah. And He wanted Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach repentance to the inhabitants of that city. And Jonah was so jazzed about that idea that he hopped in a ship and just headed for the other side of the world. He was so thrilled about that one. Jonah was a prophet. He was a chosen messenger of the Lord. So you know what that tells me? Even God's prophets can refuse to obey God's commands. Which also tells me that no person is impervious to sin's temptation. We are all liable to make the same kind of poor decision in a given situation. He was an earthen vessel just like you and me. He had his weaknesses. He had his prejudices. He had his pettiness that clouded his judgment and caused him to make terrible decisions. Jonah said no to God. Now, he didn't say that with his words, but he said it with his actions. It's good to say no to drugs, always. It's good most of the time to say no to dessert. But it's never good to say no to God. That one always gets you into trouble. God said, go here, and Jonah went there, and the storm broke loose on Jonah. Jonah hated the Ninevites, or at least he hated the idea of God saving the lives of the Ninevites, and we can understand why, because Nineveh was the capital city of the aggressive Assyrian Empire, and they were wicked. It said there in verse 2 that their wickedness had come up before God, extremely wicked people. They were brutal in their military activity, in the way that they expanded the borders of their kingdom, their empire. And their empire was expanding, and that evil empire was encroaching upon the land of Israel. So you can understand why Jonah wasn't too crazy about these people. God's message for them was that if they didn't repent within 40 days, that God was going to destroy them. And look, Jonah didn't want them to get that message. He wanted them to be destroyed. He didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to have a reprieve. He didn't want them to be saved. He wanted them to be wiped off the map. Now, being a prophet of God, I am certain that he knew that there's nowhere in this whole wide world, on God's green earth, that you can run from God, or on God's blue earth. You can't hop in a ship and get away from God. I'm convinced he knew that. But maybe, just maybe, if he could give God the runaround for long enough, stall him for, say, 40 days, maybe the clock would run out on Nineveh and they would meet their doom and Nineveh would be destroyed. But not only did Jonah know that you couldn't run from the Lord, he learned a valuable lesson as well, and that is that you cannot manipulate the Lord. It's impossible to do. God cannot be manipulated. So Jonah found out some lessons the hard way here. He rejected God's will, and he suffered greatly because of that, like many of us do, right? We do that when we reject God's will. When Jonah got the call to go east, he went west to Joppa, and there is the city of Joppa on the Mediterranean coast right here, the land of Palestine over here. God wanted him to go to the city of Nineveh, which is farther east. And when God told him to do that, what Jonah did is he hopped in that boat and he headed to the other side of the world, to Tarshish. Now, I don't think anybody's absolutely certain where the ancient city of Tarshish was located, but I think we can be pretty confident that it was on the southern coast of Spain there, modern-day Spain, Portugal, the Iberian Peninsula there. And that's what he did. And I'm not convinced if he would have made it there before the 40 days was up that he would have stopped there. I think he would have kept on going, trying to stall the Lord and to frustrate his plans. But needless to say, he did not make it to Tarshish. God stopped him in his tracks. God frustrated his plans, and he did so in a most convincing way. Now, Jonah didn't know it, but when he headed in the opposite direction of where the Lord wanted him to go, he was heading right into the face of the storm. He went storm chasing. We do that when we do the opposite of what God wants us to do. You know that? We go chasing storms. That's what happens. Verse 4 says, God hurled a great wind at the sea, and a great storm at the ship. And what a whopper of a storm it was. It was, if you look at various versions of the Bible, or if you look at a good Bible dictionary for the word that's used for storm there, you might see a word like a whirlwind to describe it, or a hurricane. The wind and the waves beat against the ship so fiercely it nearly destroyed the ship. And through all of the waves and the rocking and just all of the chaos, guess what Jonah's doing? He's down in the hold of the ship. He's down below deck sleeping, of all things, when the ship's about ready to be destroyed. What do you know? Somebody who's running from God, not doing God's will, causing problems in other people's lives, they have the ability to turn off their conscience and numb their minds, the problems they're causing, and just go to sleep. That kind of thing happens quite frequently, I'm afraid. But because of Jonah's foolishness, his callousness, his sinfulness, a shipload of people were about ready to be destroyed. That's what sin does. It invites people into the storm that we've created, whether they want to be there or not. When we choose sin over God's will, it creates storms. And storms, we know, are not isolated events. These people don't walk around with little storm clouds over their head that follow them everywhere they go. They share the goodness with other people, whether they want it or not. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 15 through 18, and the verse 20 and 21 says this: good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Adversity pursues sinners, but the righteous will be rewarded with prosperity. It was pretty quickly determined that Jonah was the cause of this particular storm, and that the crew and the travelers were the unwitting companions of a fool who was causing much harm for himself and for those around him. They weren't happy about it in the least, to say the least. Verse 10 says they asked him the question, "How could you do this?" You ever had anybody ask you that question? When you just made a mess of things for yourself and maybe for somebody else? What were you thinking? How could you do a thing like this? Do you know what you've done? Make you feel maybe about that tall and you want to go crawl under a rock somewhere and never come out? It happens. It could happen to any one of us. We make a bad decision and we bring hardship in other people's lives. And Jonah and his shipmates, they found themselves in the greatest of peril. Their ship was about ready to be destroyed. And you know what that means? They were goners. And all was lost, right? It was just gloom and doom and despair. There was no hope whatsoever for this mission, right? Well, wrong. You know what that storm indicated, actually? It didn't indicate that death was imminent. It did not indicate that all was lost. It didn't indicate that the end was near. What it showed was that God wasn't done with Jonah yet. God still had plans for the boy. Jonah caused the storm, but God was using the storm. It was a call to Jonah to return to his senses and return to his God and do the right thing and return to his mission. God was getting his attention. Did a pretty good job of that too, didn't he? What about you right this moment? Are you in the middle of a whirlwind yourself? Is your life just a hurricane right now, a tempest of your own creation? Maybe you feel like all is lost. There's no chance for you. You're a goner. You're just as good as gone. I want to say, not so fast, sailor. Put the brakes on just a little bit. God's not done with you yet. As long as you're drawing breath, God has better things in store for you. He wants better things in store for you. As it was with Jonah, maybe it is with you. Maybe He's just trying to get your attention, to wake you up, to turn you around and get you going in the right direction again. Maybe He's trying to let you know the hard way that you need to straighten up. It's time to turn that ship around and get things going in the right direction. And God can do some good things for you. And look, you need to do this before somebody really gets hurt, as was going to be the case with Jonah if he didn't do that. Maybe you think that things just can't get any worse. Maybe you think they're just the absolutely worst they could possibly be. I wouldn't be too sure about that. If you don't turn your life around very soon, things could get terribly worse. And listen, they could get eternally worse. You don't want to find out what that's like the hard way, do you? Of course you don't. You don't want to be standing before God, not right in His sight. The farther you run from God, the rougher the waves get. That's just the nature of the beast. The more you resist His will for you, the tougher the road gets. The longer you refuse, the more you suffer, the more you cause others to suffer, the more you languish in the storm. Stop the madness. The way of the sinner is hard, and it just keeps getting harder and harder the further you go away. And that's what these men did, right? They rowed harder and harder against this storm, and it became tougher and tougher to maintain the ship. The more you resist, the more difficult life becomes. Find out what you need to do. Admit it to yourself, what you need to do, and do what it is that you need to do to turn things around. Well, what was the cure for Jonah and his companions. What was the answer to their problem? Well, it was a pretty simple one, and yet a very difficult one at the same time. The cure was to pick Jonah up and throw him in the water. Now, that was the antidote, but it was a difficult pill to swallow. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to throw this guy overboard. Must have been decent enough fellows. They didn't want to just to leave the guy for dead while they escaped without harm. So they didn't want to do that. They wanted to know the solution to the problem, and it was a difficult solution, and they heard it, but they didn't do it. God said, throw Jonah overboard. That was God's answer. And their answer was, row, row, row your boat harder and faster and try your best to do it your way. Listen, when you ignore God's counsel and you try to fix things your own way, when you find yourself in a heap of trouble in a storm, guess what happens? The going gets rougher. That's how that works. Count on it. Look, they weren't just rowing against an angry sea. They were rowing against an angry God. When you do that, you're just in for a heap of trouble. When we don't do things the way God wants us to do things, that makes Him angry. Did you know that? Our God gets angry when we disobey Him. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." The anger of God is revealed from heaven against people who don't do the right thing and cause other people to not do the right thing. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things," things that are displays of disobedience to God, "the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." And you can count on it. When we're not doing things the way God wants us to do, it makes Him angry. It makes God angry when we disobey Him. And He was revealing His wrath from heaven to these men at this time, because of what one person was doing wrong. So they rowed with all their might, and they threw cargo overboard to try to lighten the load, and they did everything that they could do to try to make things better, and nothing worked. They did everything that they could have done except what they should have done. Guess what, folks? Nothing will ever get better. Nothing will ever work as long as you're fighting against God. Did you know that? That's a fight you are never going to win. You're going to lose it every time, and you're going to lose it terribly. Until they were ready to face the music and do what they had to do to take the cure, no matter how tough a pill it was to swallow, things were not going to get better. And the same is true for you and me. All other efforts are just useless. They're counterproductive, as a matter of fact. They increase the intensity of the storm. All else failed, so guess what they did? They finally agreed to do what the prophet of the Lord told them they needed to do. When all else fails, read the instructions, right? We do that. We try to do things our own way, and we're sure we're going to work it out, and then we go to the experts who write the instructions. Well, guess what? You heard the Bible called this before, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. God wrote the instruction manual of life. He tells us exactly what we need to do to make things right with Him, to calm the storms, to cause the waves to cease their raging. Follow the instructions. What a novel idea. Let's try that. But anyway, back to the story. They pick Jonah up and they heave him over the railing. Let me ask you a question. What were they doing when they did that? Were they throwing Jonah to his death? No, they weren't at all. You know what they were doing? They were throwing Jonah to his God. He finally realized that to resist the Lord's will any longer was just foolishness. It was utterly frustrating to him and everyone else. It was just the most unwise of choices that you could possibly make. So he finally said, "Throw me to God." He finally said, "Your will, not my will, Lord. Take me just as I am. Your ways, not my ways. I give up. I give in. I trust You. I'm going to take that plunge of faith, and I'm entrusting myself to Your safety, Lord. Into Your hands, I commit my life and my spirit. Bombs away, here I come, cannonball, right into the water." And what happened? What was the result of these measures? Immediately, the storm was stilled. All was placid and serene. The people on the ship were throwing a big party. They were really happy. They started praising God. They started offering sacrifices to Him. Happy ending for all. God sent Jonah His saving grace in the shape of this great fish, some kind of sea monster, some large creature in the sea, and that later spit him up safe and sound on dry land. Well, I don't know how dry he was when he was spit up out of the mouth of that fish, but he was safe and he was sound. What's the moral of the story, folks? Do what God says and the storm dies down. The healing starts. The peace comes, but only when you meet Him on His terms and you obey His will. Look, God is not finished with you yet. God wants the wind to cease in your life. He wants the waves to stop crashing into your life. He doesn't want your ship to be broken up. He doesn't want that for you. But you got to stop running. And look, He doesn't care how far you've run away from Him, right? He doesn't care how long you've been running for Him. He wants you back. Now hold on a second there. You might be thinking, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know how far I've gone. You don't know what extremes I've gone to in sinning against God. God could never take me back. Look, you know what? You're right. I don't know what you've done, and I don't care what you've done. And more importantly, God doesn't care what you've done. God wants you back. Just like He wanted Jonah back. Stop going in the wrong direction. Further and further away from Him. Stop, drop, and pivot. That's what you need to do. That's my advice to you. Stop the madness. Stop the sinning. Stop going in the wrong direction. Drop your will. Drop your pride. Drop to your knees and pray for God's help. And pivot. Turn around and go the right way. You don't think God wants you back? You don't think this can be done? I want you to think about King David. He was a lying, lusting, adulterous, murderous fool. But he repented. He stopped and he turned and he went back the right way and God forgave him. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was a belligerent, blasphemous persecutor of God's people. But Christ stopped him on that road to Damascus and shined the light on him and turned him around. And got him going in the right direction. That's what He wants for you. Look, they had to face up to some hard realities, some tough pills to swallow. But they had to understand, and they did finally, that their way wasn't working any longer. It never worked. And they couldn't endure it any longer. And your ways will never work. My ways will never work. It's only the ways of God that work. Break off that adulterous relationship that you're having. Stop shacking up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Quit going to the gambling boat. Quit gambling on the internet. Stay away from that bar. Stay away from that bottle of booze. Put that joint down. Stop the madness. Haven't these things produced enough storms in your life? Isn't it time to give in to the will of God and allow those things to cease? The storms and the waves, they're making a mess of you. Turn from those things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 reads, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord." You ready for things to start working for good in your life? That's all God wants for you. That's it. He wants good things for you. He wants better things for you than what you've been bringing yourself when you resist His will. He's got good things in store for you if you'll only turn around and turn to Him. And look, just like Jonah, He's got plans for you. God had a mission and plans yet for Jonah to achieve in his life. And God has some things for you to achieve as well. But He can't use you if you're running from Him. And God wants to use you to glorify Himself and to help other people. You can go ahead and pick up your songbook. We're going to sing number 644. song of encouragement for you to obey the gospel this very evening, to put on the Lord in baptism, to take that plunge of faith yourself. We'll throw you right into the waters. And I promise you, no great fish will swallow you up and hold you in his belly for 3 days. We'll pull you right out of there and you'll be safe. You'll be sound, more sound and safe than you've ever been in your whole life. You ever wonder why Jonah didn't just jump in the water himself? Why he had these people throw him over? If he knew what the answer was, why didn't he just jump? And the storm would have ceased. I'm not really sure. I've wondered about that often. Initially, I thought maybe he knew he was going to die and that would be committing suicide. Maybe that's the case, but I really don't think it is. I don't think that's the case at all. I just get the sense that he knew that's how God wanted him to do it. That's how God wanted it to be done. And look, he was finally willing to do God's will. He was a prophet of the Lord. He knew the Lord's will on many matters. And I think the Lord revealed to him that that's what he wanted done. Now, Christ used Jonah as a sign, as a symbol of his own sacrifice. In Matthew 12:40, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, he was going to be in the heart of the earth for that long as well when he died. He allowed himself, Jonah, to be sacrificed to the sea as Christ was willing to allow himself to be sacrificed at the hands of others too. I believe there's parallel there even in the heaving over the side of the boat. But look, Christ did everything he did. He allowed himself to be killed by evil men. And he was in that ground for 3 days. And he arose from death and conquered it. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father to rule over his kingdom. Look, he did all that for you. Did you know that? Every single bit of that was done for you. Christ took the hit for you. Take him up on his offer that he makes you. Don't resist him any longer. Why do that? He died for you. Live for him. No other life has the blessings that Christ has in store for you if you only follow him instead of the way of sin. And listen, just because you're not in a storm doesn't mean that you're doing God's will. Did you know that? Not everybody who disobeys God finds himself in the midst of a storm on this earth. Nobody gets away with disobeying the Lord, though. Nobody does. His eternal wrath, that firestorm in hell, is much worse than any storm that anybody will experience on this earth. Did you know that? If you're not following God's will for you and you think you're getting away with it, everything's going smooth and fine and dandy and life is just great, I'm telling you, bad things are on the horizon for you. Romans 2:5 says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Look, his future wrath is much more severe and permanent than this temporary earthly wrath that we experience sometimes. If we're not obeying God, if we're not determined to serve Him according to His will, to worship Him the right way, to put Him on the right way that the Bible says to be saved the way that the Bible tells us to do, we're storing up wrath for the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Just storing it up. Boy, you're going to get hit with a wallop on that day. You ready to make it right? You can stand before Him that day confident. No storm's coming. We stand ready to help you learn the will of God. We'll study with you whenever, wherever, however long it takes to bring you closer to God and get your life right with Him. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll help you any way we can spiritually. We'll baptize you into Christ tonight if you need to do that. So any way we can help you, you come up here and let me know. We'll talk about those things. And we'll do whatever we have to do. You come right now while we're standing and singing.